Well, I'm really happy to invite Obria here this Sunday. Obria is in Lebanon and up in Portland area, and they believe it Oregon City. And they've, as you know, Debbie Tracy has been involved for years with that, and just a real passionate about seeing moms taken care of with their kids and unborn kids especially. And just realizing that it involves the lots of different aspects of family, that it begins, you know, with how you grow up and what you get to bring to your kids, and then what they in turn are learning about life. But just the fullness of it from parenting classes, and I've asked Obrey to come and speak this morning. And Pastor Brian Gosser, he is the teaching pastor at Southside Christian Church here in town. And we're just really jazzed to have him come and share on behalf of Obrey this morning. Would you welcome him?
Thank you, Scott. Yeah. Well, good morning, everybody. It is really exciting to be here. I am blessed to be able to do this. And we hate that Debbie Tracy is on her cancer journey. And she would love to be here with you this morning. But I get to be here. So I guess there's a little blessing for me out of that I get to be here to share with you. As pastor over at Southside, I don't get the opportunity very often to visit other churches. And here in Lebanon, we have a very, I think, what is a unique fellowship amongst the churches. And so Scott and I have kind of rubbed shoulders over the years. And through Transform Lebanon and the group that meets here on Thursdays at prayers, I don't get to come over, unfortunately. I have responsibilities on Thursday mornings. But we have a group of pastors in this town and churches in this town that are committed to sharing the gospel and loving our town. And it is a blessing to minister here, not just because of the work that the Lord has given me personally, but because of the people I get to minister with in this community, Scott being one of those. Obviously, our brothers at the other churches are just amazing. And so thank you for letting me share with you this morning. I represent Obria, and this morning I'll be sharing a little bit from God's Word with you, and also about the ministry. But I wanted to just kind of give you a little connection to who I am. I do pastor over at Southside. I have been there for 14 years, 10 years as a teaching pastor. Before that, I did youth ministry and children's ministry. And that has primarily been the bulk of my ministry experience, was children's ministry. I was a children's pastor for 14 years before moving up here. And so I was demoted to the pulpit, is the way I phrase it. But I've been there teaching God's Word ever since. But that's just one of the hats that I wear within our community. I also am the chaplain for the fire department here. So if I look familiar, maybe you've connected with me on one of those different areas. I also coach football at Lebanon High School and substitute teach at Lebanon High School, and share with Obria in the school district as well. This is my 14th season coaching football. In fact, one of my former players back there, Sean, played for me a few years back, and his older brother, Dakota. And so, if you don't listen, Sean, I have my whistle here someplace, and up downs will be, yeah. He remembers those, I'm pretty sure. Anyways, I have a lot of connections, but this one with Obria is one of my favorite new ones that I've gotten to do. I spent 7 years as the chairman of the board for Obria, and then 10 months ago, we received a grant that expanded our executive and donor development team. And so they asked me to come on board, to step off the board and join the staff. And so for 10 months now, I've been serving as the chief development officer at Obria. And so this morning, I am joined by my wife, Caitlin. She's in the back there. And oh, there's the picture up there. And my daughter, Emma. And so the main reason I will say that I am sharing with you today and not somebody else is because of that picture right there, and specifically the little girl sitting on my lap. Any of you joined us for our banquet, our yearly banquet, and so you know this story already, that I and my wife have a daughter, Emma, who's almost 22 months old now, because of Obria. She was a little girl that was saved. Her mom came into the clinic, made a connection with our nursing staff, and was abortion determined. That was her plan. And through that conversation, through the relationships that were developed there, she chose to keep her baby, but only on the condition that we would find, Obrea would find a family. Well, my wife and I had been in the adoption process for almost 8 years, and we had just had a failed adoption that had really just destroyed us, and we were in the valley low, and we received a call from Debbie Tracy, and she said, if you guys have room in your home for a baby, we have a baby. We not need to find a home. Would you take her? And so, of course, we agreed, and within 2 weeks, she was born, and we received our beautiful little girl. And so we got her. Thank you. We got Emma at 2 days. On day number two, she was signed over to us, and we've had her as ours ever since. So she is our blessing, and that's why I'm here. I represent Obrea because I love this organization, not just for, I mean, obviously they do amazing work, and over the last 35, 36 years, incredible things have happened. But I feel it personally. Very, very personally. And so I owe a huge debt to Debbie and the ministry there. And so that's why I'm here sharing with you today, is because I would do anything for this family because of what they have provided for me and my wife. So thank you for allowing me to be here and share with you all. I want to start by sharing from you a couple passages of scripture. You know, there have been some verses that I've taught on, I've preached on, I've studied personally and in seminary that have always hit me one way. And then as I've gotten involved with Obrea and received this amazing blessing of a little girl from the life-saving ministry of Obrea, that these verses have hit me just a little bit differently. And so I want to share some of those with you this morning. The first one, for example, is from Isaiah chapter 61, and it starts in verse 1. It says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory." Now, I love this passage, and this is a really key passage in the life of Obrea. And we try to follow faithfully the Lord, even in our ministry, and commit everything that we do to him. And we believe, based on this passage and many like it, that the Holy Spirit guides us even as we commit our ways to him. And in here we find many promises. For example, it says that the Lord not only guides us, right? He gives us a purpose. And so at Obrea we have this purpose of saving lives, but he anoints us in that purpose, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me. We believe that the Lord anoints us as we pursue his purpose in this ministry that he is given to us. And so that applies for all of us, that as we pursue what God has given us to do, he doesn't just say, go do it. He then puts his hand of blessing upon us as he releases us to that purpose. But then it says, not only does he anoint us, right, but he then pushes us. He kind of, maybe sometimes he has to kick us, right, out the door into the world like a baby leaving its nest, a baby bird leaving its mother's nest. But he sends us out with this purpose. So we have a purpose, we have anointing, and then we have ascending. He says, he has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. And so this passage serves, I believe, as God's purpose, and it's his direction for what he wants us to do at Obrea. Now the topic is a little different, but the job is a little different than what Isaiah is talking about here, but the overarching theme is the same. To proclaim freedom, well, let me take a step back here, to bring good news to the world. And the good news of Jesus Christ, obviously, but just the good news that your life has value. Think about how important that is. And we know why our life has value, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But our life has value because God has given us value. And many of the people who walk through the doors of our clinic have no idea that they have value. Nobody has ever built into them a sense that there's worth in their existence. In fact, their life doesn't exist, or it doesn't have any value or worth. And they feel worthless, and they feel shamed when they come through the doors. And so our job is then to bring them this good news, that they matter. Before we even consider the life within their womb, we talk about how they themselves matter. They have value. So then we are given the job to comfort the brokenhearted. Well, I don't know. I haven't had a lot of personal experience firsthand with the young ladies who come through our doors. That would be inappropriate. But I know from talking with Hillary and Tiffany and our nursing staff that you don't find yourselves in the doors of an abortion clinic, which many of them think that we are when they come through our doors, unless you are broken, yeah. Right? And so our job here is to comfort the brokenhearted. And these young men and women, the women that accompany them, are often brokenhearted. And so we're fulfilling our purpose here to build into their lives a sense of healing. The next one it says that we've been given the task of proclaiming freedom to the captive. But boy, howdy, do you not think that they are captive to a philosophy of the world that has led them to that place? Yeah. Right? They are held captive to a worldview. They are held captive to, again, to their own lack of self-esteem and self-worth. They are captives just as much as if chains were bound around their wrists and ankles. And so we're here to proclaim freedom to them, to teach those who mourn the truth about God's promises. They're mourning their decisions. And some of them are even, maybe they don't have the same value of life yet that we might, but they still mourn that decision that they have to undergo that procedure, whatever it is, to fix their problem, so they think. Right? So they come with great mourning in their hearts. And the truth is that God's favor, God's comfort, God's help is available to them. And that through looking to Him in this time of need, they can find not just healing, but rejoicing on top of it. And that's just an incredible, powerful tool at our disposal, that we have hope to give. We have life to give. We have joy to give. And that's our job to do. And then, obviously, God promises that He will be with us through our obedience to proclaiming that message. He will be glorified in all of it. And so our desire, as we read Isaiah 61, is really to love those who God loves, right? To serve those who God serves, to comfort those who God desires to comfort, to protect those who God needs to protect. And often that protection especially is the life within the womb. And so this morning, that's what we're going to be talking about. But I have a few more verses that I would like to share with you. Let's see, my page, flip it over. There we go. So we have a very clear purpose, we believe, at Obria, and that is the purpose of preserving life. And that preserving of life, again, is not just the unborn child. It's the life of the mother. It's the life of the father. It's life in general. And we believe that life is of extreme value. And we find that truth in the earliest pages of the Bible. In fact, on page 1 in Genesis chapter 1, we find the reason why life is valuable. So I'd like to read for you a few verses here this morning. It starts in, I believe, verse 26 here. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree that has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you, and every beast of the earth, and every bird of the sky, and everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. Why does life have value? Because of where it originated. Because of who made it, who created it, who authored it, who perfected it. In the likeness of God, that's how life was created. That's how you were made, right? Fashioned in such a way that you actually bear His image, the image of the Almighty Creator. You have been formed with a mind that's designed to reason and to think, a heart that's empowered to love other people and to love this life that He has given. You've been given a spirit that is inspired to create, just like your creator. We call him the great creator, right? Well, you have been made in his likeness and you are creative and you have been inspired to create. You have been given a body that is built to work and to serve other people. You have been intentionally woven together to resemble the one who created you. And so it stands to reason then that is an intentional creation, an intentional image bearer of the triune God, that you would hold innate worth. Amen. Amen? I love that. Yes, life has value because of where it came from. You know, like think of it this way, a few dollars worth of paint and canvas doesn't mean much in my hands, right? But in the hands of a true artist, amen, that few dollars worth of material can become a priceless masterpiece. And so our what makes us up, our skin and bones and blood, isn't worth that much. But when the breath of the Almighty gives it life, it becomes a masterpiece. And so we believe that that's the importance. And so an understanding of our true worth is very, very important. And it's a blessing to understand that value that we hold because of who gives us that value. When someone knows that they matter, that someone out there treasures who they are and that they have value and purpose, then all of a sudden the trials and momentary affliction that they may be received turns from just a road bump, from a great mountain into a road bump, right? We drive over road bumps every day, but mountains seem like a barrier to our future. But that's what God gives us, that value that allows us to overcome. And this is why it's so vitally important that we not only hold these truths within our hearts and minds, but we demonstrate these truths through how we treat one another, through our attitude and our actions towards all human life, our own and others and the born and the yet to be born. And so this is a large part why we exist at Obria, to help people who come through the doors of our clinic to understand that they and the life that they potentially carry have eternal value to us and to their Creator. Value given to them by that Creator, and an understanding that He cares and He loves them, and that He cares and loves for that new life that has been created within them, and so do we. Another passage that's really spoken to my heart that I'd like to share with you this morning comes from the book of Job. And actually, it comes from chapter 10, verses 8 through 12. It says, "Your hands fashioned and made me altogether. Would you destroy me? Remember now that you have made me as clay, and would you turn me into dust again? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? Clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and sinews? You have granted me life and loving kindness, and your care has preserved my spirit." Now we're going to come back to that. I'm going to step down here if that is okay. All right. I feel like I'm about ready to tip off the edge of the stage, and I don't want to do that. That'd be embarrassing. All right. I want to come back to that passage in Job for just a minute, but I want you to consider for just a minute the Israelite people, right? The Israelite people. Now you would think that after being delivered from the hands of the Egyptians, a miraculous way by God's deliverance, right, from years of slavery and granted their freedom, you would think that they would have recognized that the Lord had plans for them, right? I mean, He had done these incredible things to demonstrate this. Instead, whenever they were confronted with a new obstacle, they would often cry out in despair. In Numbers 14, for example, they grumbled to Moses. When confronted with an obstacle, they said this: "If only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword?" Right? He did it before, but He's not going to do it this time. You know, the truth of the matter was that God did not deliver them from slavery just to have them fall back into it. Right? He didn't deliver them, rescue them, so that they would then be destroyed or fail out in the desert. He delivered them, right, to bring about the fulfillment of his promises to Abraham to make a great people from his seed. He rescued them to pour out his blessings on mankind. That's why he brought them out of Egypt, and he led them through the desert so that they can experience and appreciate a land flowing with milk and honey. Right? Let's see what desolation is like before you can really appreciate what the blessing is like. And so likewise, as Job accounts within that text I read just a moment ago, that God did not weave us together to tear us apart. Right? He didn't lead them out of slavery to destroy them by the sword. He didn't make us within our mother's womb just to destroy us. He did not form us to then crush us. Right? He did not create life with the purpose of destroying life. And so from the very beginning, the Lord has created and sustained and formed and preserved and planted and cultivated life. And so we believe, I'm sure you do as well, that we are God's ambassadors here on this earth. We are his representatives to go out and share that message. Our job is to sustain what he sustains, to preserve what he preserves, and to cultivate what he cultivates. Or for us at Obria, the sustaining, the preserving, and the cultivating of human life, of life newly conceived. The trouble is that the world in which we live does not hold on to that same perspective, that same worldview, that same heartbeat. And so we live in a state that is leading the charge against God's truths, the truth of value and preservation of life. And so we have to get down to the business of sustaining, preserving, and cultivating, or else we're going to lose this battle. And so the sanctity of human life, we know, is under attack. And it has been ever since Satan whispered those first words of rebellion into the ears of Eve. Yeah. That's the truth of the world that we live in. The things that God values are under attack. Life itself is under attack. And that attack on life is fierce. And the call to protect life rings out from the heavens. And so we have a deep problem on our hands. Indeed, a deep problem indeed. And so I want to take a little bit a closer look at some of the problems that we are facing. And I think we have some statistics up here. Let's see if we can progress. Here we go. This is the most recent statistics that we have on the problem of the attack against life is that in abortions, in 2023, there was almost 9,000 abortions that were medically recorded. Now, we have that asterisk up there for a purpose, and that is because of the advent of the morning after pill, the chemical abortions that take place. We don't have good record keeping of exactly how many. And so nationally, the statistics say that abortion has decreased. But the fact of the matter is that abortion, at least, let me rephrase that. My opinion is that abortion has not decreased one bit, that it continues to rise. We just don't know about it. Because people, they say the abortion clinic is now the bathroom. And so we don't know all the young ladies who have had abortions that have gotten that pill through unrecorded means. And so here is kind of a breakdown, though, of the ones that were specifically recorded in the three counties that Obria reaches, Clackamas, Lynn, and Marion County. You can see that Clackamas County had 669 abortions, Marion County 862, and Lynn County 156. You might think, yeah, we're leading the charge, but compare the population of those other two counties, and you'll find that our statistics are not good at all, right? The percentage is pretty bad. This was another one that's kind of interesting to me. I don't have the 2023 breakdown, but in 2021, 50% of the abortions that were performed or chemical or clinical were for women in their 20s, 31% women in their 30s, 5% were 40 and above, and almost 15% were 19 and under. Also, 71% of abortions were before 9 weeks old, 17% between 9 and 12 weeks, 6% between 13 and 16, and 3% between 17 and 20. And this one is the most shocking of all to me. There was almost 60 abortions, 59 to be exact, took place after 23 weeks. Right, we're getting pretty close, right? That's way too close to birth for this, for these type of tragic things to be taking place. We have a problem. Abortion is a significant problem. But we have a solution to that, don't we? We have the words of life, and we have a ministry that promotes life. And so the solution to that, we believe, at least part of the solution, is Obria Medical Clinics. And so let's go ahead and go one more slide there. We are here, our mission statement. I need to have this memorized. Don't tell Debbie Tracy I don't have this memorized if you run into her. Our mission is to provide life-affirming medical and educational services and equip individuals to make healthy choices related to pregnancy, relationships, and parents. That is what we're here to do, and life is the core of that purpose. Go ahead and move on to the next slide here. We do this in kind of a three-pronged approach. And the first one is we do preventative education. In other words, what we desire is for the ladies never to have to come through our clinic because they did not get pregnant outside of a plan in the first place. And so we'll explain what that looks like here in just a minute. But then we also have our pregnancy and reproductive care, what we do in the clinics, right? And so the medical portion of our outreach. And then we also have ongoing support that we provide to those, both those who keep their child, but also to those who might choose what we wouldn't want them to do is to have an abortion. But even if they do, we're going to care for them because the likelihood of them being in that position again is pretty high. And so we would love to just keep our relationship with them to help them make the right choice the next time they find themselves in that situation. So let's look at these. Preventative education. What does it look like at Obria? Here in Lebanon, we have a program right now, and not just Lebanon, but we in our surrounding communities called Sexual Risk Avoidance Education or Optimal Health Education. Go ahead and advance that slide. Optimal Health Education is what it's really, we used to call SRE all the time. Now it's Optimal Health Education. And the purpose of this is to provide relationship education that empowers youth to make life choices that will help them lead successful lives. And so used to be in schools, you could go in and you could teach abstinence education, right? You're all familiar with that probably if you had that in your high school. That is frowned upon, of course, in our educational system. However, the same thing can be accomplished through looking at what healthy relationships look like. And so as we talk with the kids in 6th through 12th grade, 11th grade, I believe, we have these conversations saying, how can you have a healthy relationship that doesn't work against your life goals? Because often what happens is they find themselves in relationships that become destructive to what they would like to accomplish someday in their life. Education, work goals, owning homes and being comfortable in life or pursuing some purpose in life. And they find themselves in a relationship, or maybe they become pregnant, and all of a sudden their life goals go out the window. Or not only sexual-related risks, but drug and alcohol, other peer pressure things that take away from their opportunities that they have in their future. So that's kind of the approach that we have here with Optimal Health Education. So our message really is that goals matter. Like you as a young child, even a sixth grader, should have goals of what you want to accomplish someday. I've been in classes, I'm one of the educators, and I've been in classes, and I say, what do you want to accomplish? What do you want to be when you grow up? And you would be surprised how few kids actually have any sort of idea, even at 10th, 11th grade, what they want to do, because no one's ever asked them. What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? They just are in a cycle where they're going to end up being where their parents were. Not that their parents are in a bad place necessarily, but they haven't been challenged to say, well, this is what my parents had. Well, I don't want that. I want something for myself. I want a different goal. I want a different occupation, and that they can achieve something in their life beyond what they've experienced. There's nothing, and that's not to downgrade what their parents have achieved or done themselves, but they can have their own goals in life. And so we challenge them about their goals. We challenge them that their education matters, that the opportunity that they have in high school, junior high, gives them a foothold for what they can achieve in the future. And that if they take their education seriously, that it puts them in a position to realize all those goals in their life. And then the last part there is risk awareness matters. That there are things in your lives all over the place that are attacking those goals and those that foundation of your education. And your friend asking you to play hooky is putting you at risk to not achieving your goals in life. And your girlfriend or boyfriend and drugs and alcohol and sexual activity, all of these things work against your goals and your education. So how do we help students? Well, we teach healthy coping skills for stress and emotions. You'd be surprised how few kids have any coping skills, how to handle stress or anger or things like that. So we work on coping skills. We look at, again, establishing life goals and looking to the future. We equip them with skills to identify and avoid the risks and things in their lives that derail them from their goals. We provide hope You know, they're not stuck. They don't have to be in Lebanon, Oregon forever. We love Lebanon, right? But everybody should have the right to be here if they want to be here. And if they don't want to be here, then give them the skills and tools necessarily to achieve something, to be where they would like to be. And then to dream what the future can be. Go ahead and progress that a little bit. We have a couple examples of some of the topics. We do things like personality styles and setting boundaries and who I am, the value that you have, responding to change, developing your assets. You know, these are some of the different type of topics that we teach in those each 8-week class with the kids when we have that opportunity. Go ahead and go forward. Here's one of our typical classes. I believe this is an 8th grade class. This is, you know, a typical class size that we have, and we have some just amazing experiences in the classrooms with those kids. I had a young girl come to me last year who said, "Why is nobody talking to us about this stuff?" And she was an 11th grader. She said, "Nobody has challenged me to think about these things." And so we are. We're in the classrooms challenging them on these things. Keep going. All right, so these are some of the places that we actually take our sexual risk avoidance education, or SRA, Optimal Health. We're in the Linn County Detention Center. We've been over at Santiam High School in Mill City. Obviously, we're here in Lebanon at Lebanon High School, Seven Oaks, Hamilton Creek, Lacombe Middle School. We are currently working with Eddyville School District, Ralston Academy, and Oak Creek Youth Correctional Facility. So we have our hands full, and it's growing all the time. We're looking for new sites all the time. We've also done youth groups and other youth churches and other places like that. All right, next slide. Here's just a real quick, I know this is probably too small for you to see everything, but I just want to point this out that in the 2020 to 2023 grant year, we reached almost 4,000 youth, nice. Right? Just here in Lebanon, Eddyville, Santiam, and the correctional facilities. Almost 4,000 youth, and the school districts keep coming back to us saying, "We want you more. We want you in here more. You're making a difference," right? And so the more youth that we can reach there, we're putting ourselves out of business in the clinic, is really what we would love to do, right? Or at least we can modify what we do to truly be a pregnancy center that's assisting women and men who come through with their reproductive needs. All right, let's see, what's next here? All right, some of the quick comments there. I'm so glad Obria came in, to talk to my kids about this stuff. I don't know how to bring it up. That's from a parent. I feel like you actually care about what we have to say from an 11th grader. We do. We care about them, and we give them that message of value and the value of their life. So those couple things that they've said there. All right, moving on. I can talk about SRA all day. I will say, as you pray for us, pray for volunteers and people that can become educators, because we have more demand on our time to be in the schools than we can handle right now. Isn't that a great problem? I mean, it's a fantastic problem. We prayed that God would respond, and the doors are opening up right and left. In fact, there's some news that will be coming out that I can't tell you today, that Scott will have to tell you next week, because he's going to find out about it on Thursday at our pastor's luncheon. Are you going? All right, he's going to find out and report to you next week the exciting news. I would love to tell you, but Debbie said she'd fire me if I spilled the beans. No, she didn't. All right, so we also have our clinic, obviously, our pregnancy and reproductive need clinic. And so there at the clinic and in our mobile medical units, which we have going around in Oregon City and up in Salem, we provide pregnancy testing, 2D, 3D ultrasounds, STI testing for men and women, health coaching, UTI, HPV, and I don't remember what BV stands for, but all sorts of treatment and testing, productive care, and relational education that we handle in the clinic. So whether you are considering an abortion, or you're just someone who thinks you might be pregnant, we love to care for everybody who is in that stage of life. And so we have lots of people who come through just to need to see, are they pregnant? They'd like to find out if the baby's well. And so we are a service to our community, to our churches. And so if you know someone who thinks they're pregnant or needs some care during that time, please send them our way. All right, 400%, 50%, and 92%. You want to know what those statistics are? Okay, so these are a little bit outdated because I'm at the end of 2023. And so we're going to be updating these statistics. So I just want to say we're a little bit outdated. If you've heard them before, we've been using them for about a year or so here now. But 400%, go ahead and 400% increase in the number of patients over the last couple of years. Okay, we are seeing in a week what we used to see in a month, right? It's an amazing increase in the number of people coming through our doors. So 400% increase in the number of patients. 50% of the people who come through our door, the young women who come through our door, are abortion determined, right? They are at risk of aborting their baby. And of that 52%, we have a 92% success rate of choosing life, right? Praise God for that. That's a very, very high percentage rate. And that's because, again, of the message of value and the priority of life that we hold, and it spills over. And they pick up that, and they understand that we love them and we value them. So we are very, very effective at the job that we do. Excuse me. Go ahead and go to the next slide. You guys are probably very familiar, if you've driven down 2nd Street, with our clinic. That's our Lebanon clinic. The next one is our Oregon City clinic. It's a beautiful facility, and I'm updating all these pictures, so we'll have better pictures for our next time I visit you guys. But that clinic has been going for 4 years now, and I would invite you to pray for us, because it's a very, very tough community for us to minister in Oregon City. Right across the street, basically, is Planned Parenthood, and right down the road anyways. And we really struggle just getting young ladies to come through our and provide us our service, so we can provide them service rather than just going to Planned Parenthood. So be praying for the number of clients we have up there. We have people waiting to serve them, and we need more young ladies to choose to walk through the doors of Obria. Also, we have 2 mobile medical units now. One based out of Lebanon here. That's the one we've had, I'm sure you've seen, for quite some time. We've had for several years. And that one right now is servicing just up to Salem when we have personnel to staff it anyways. We're kind of in a staff shortage. But that one ministers up to Salem. And then we have the new one here up in Oregon City, brand new clinic, brand new mobile medical unit, which happened to be designed by Debbie Tracy. And another clinic up in Washington, they started one, but they've decided to focus just on their brick and mortar locations. And so they found out we were looking to have one in Portland. And so they gave us just a fantastic killer deal on it. And so now we have one raring to go. We're just looking for medical staff to staff it. And we have locations around Oregon City and Milwaukee, and couple other locations, churches that are right near Planned Parenthood that have said, come park it right out in front of us. And so we're just waiting for staff to get it up and going. So it's all ready to go. We just need the staff to get it out on the road. All right. So that is our clinic work. And then ongoing support. Right? If all we did was just save a life and then we just said, okay, good luck, you're on your own, then how caring would we really be? Not very, right? So a lot of these young ladies who walk through our doors, and young men who walk through our doors, have no positive role models in their life. They have no parenting skills. They're much too young to be a parent. So what do? Well, we partner with them and help them grow in those skills. And so we have, for example, we have parenting classes that can either be taken in person or online. And so we have staff who works directly with these young ladies who have their babies, so that they're not alone. So we impart upon them skills necessary for a healthy family. We also provide assistance and for them finding family support in the community through churches and government organizations. We also make sure that they have diapers and formula and clothing. We have kind of a little resource closet, so to speak, that has all of those things, high chairs and car seats and strollers. And again, they don't have family. Many of us, when we got Emma, we had a baby shower, and our family and our friends and our church just gave us everything that we needed to get going, especially for us. We only had 2 weeks notice, right? And so they responded, and we had everything we needed. Well, many of these young ladies don't have any support, and their parents don't want them to keep their baby. And so we step in and provide what they're lacking. And so this is part of the ongoing parenting support that we provide. Again, if you receive our emails, you know that we have exciting things on the horizon. And one of the new projects that we're working on falls in this ongoing care, where we have been working with the families, young ladies, and providing parenting support for them and mother support. We are now working on a curriculum and a program to minister to the young men, to the dads. Because, you know, in our society, the father's input, the biological father's input into the decision of whether to have the baby or not is non-existent. They don't get a voice. And so many of these young men, they feel like they don't have any voice in this world. They have no fathering skills. They didn't ever want to necessarily be a father. They don't know how to be a father. They don't have a father of their own. And so we looked at this problem and said, we have to step up. And as we have supported our young women, we need to support our young men. And my involvement in this comes from involvement in prison ministry and working with a group called Lifeline Global, who goes into the prisons and teaches the incarcerated men how to be godly fathers. And what we're finding is that even men in prison can be godly men that can bring their children to the Lord and train them upright. And so I asked myself, like, well, if they can do that with prisoners, well, then certainly we can do this with these young men, whether they live with the young lady or not, whether they're present in their every day with their child or they live in a completely different home. They can be godly fathers. And so we're working right now. I'm excited on Thursday. I get to see the second draft of the curriculum that we're working on. And we have a focus group that will be started here in just a couple weeks. So our fatherhood initiative is up and running, and we cannot wait to reveal that to the world. So a lot of excitement things coming in this category of parenting support. All right, next, okay, just a couple pictures here of our parenting classes. They do lots of classes at the facility. They do field trips. There's another one coming up here. Here's one where the trip, you can see what a great group we have. Went up to the Oregon Zoo here just a summer or two ago. Maybe if you pay attention on Facebook or you follow the parenting class, there's going to be a Moms and Minnows swim night hosted by our parenting classes. So if you're interested, follow us on Facebook and you can find that information. Yeah, so that's the ministry of Obria Medical Clinic. A couple more pictures for you here, I believe. Some of our fun stories over the years, if you've come to our banquets, you know that we've had the blessings in the recent future of saving twins. But even more than that, a couple years back, we had the opportunity to save triplets. And according to Debbie, who's been in the pregnancy clinic business for over 35 years, it was the first set of triplets in the nation that were saved at one of these pregnancy clinics. So we are very proud of the fact that we have saved the lives of these young kids. Next picture is a picture of what 3D ultrasound looks like, and what an incredible vivid picture that these young ladies get to see. Go ahead, go forward one more time. You can see there within the heart, the old picture, just very two-dimensional, black and white. You see kind of a shape, but you don't really see what the baby looks like. But you can see from the 3D one, the bigger picture, you can see the shape, and you can see, and actually go back one real quick, if you would. You can start to see the facial features, and young women can say, oh, that looks just like my mom, or just like my boyfriend, or just like my husband. And something changes when they see that vivid detail. And so praise God for that technology that allows us to show what that life looks like, that it isn't just a mass of cells, that it's actually a living human being within them. So what a blessing that technology has been. Go ahead and move it forward. And of course, I had to throw one more picture of the, shouldn't do that, right? Of the impact of Obria. That little girl wouldn't be alive. I wouldn't be here right now in front of you. Don't look at me right now. Right. My wife's looking at me back there with tears in her eyes. I wouldn't have a family. I'd have my wife, obviously. But I wouldn't have a family. I wouldn't have a little girl running around my house every morning if it wasn't for Obria. So it's very real and very important to me. And I'm blessed to be able to share about this incredible ministry with y'all. And I want to say that I am so very, very grateful for your partnership in this ministry. I look around the room and I know that so many of you have a heart for what we do. And the truth is that not all of us have the ability to be in a clinic. I don't have the right to sit down with these young ladies. Some of the men I do, but not the young ladies. And so even though I feel passionately about life, I don't have the right to do that. But we have people who do. And we have people who are making a difference, who are sharing that message of love and the value of life with these young ladies. And you all, in your partnership with us, make it happen. And you may not be sitting in the clinic with that young lady, but you, your spirit is. And your prayers are reverberating through the walls of that building. And you and your joining with us in prayer and financial support allow us to do such an incredible work. So thank you very, very much. Oh, I would love to pray with you one more time.
Please.
Yes. And also, I forgot to mention that I haven't done this for a few weeks, and so I'm a little rusty, a few months, I should say. I brought some materials back there to share with you. I have a flyer that describes what we do. I have some little goodies, some swag to share with you, some pads of paper, pens, like bread clips, things like that, that I'd love for you to stop by, say hi to me. But the one thing I forgot was I forgot to bring the little form for you to fill out if you'd like to join our mailing list, our prayer team, or support us financially. And so what I'd love to do is to invite you to go online to fortheone.org. Fortheone.org has a menu, and on that you can select join, and that fill in your information, and it'll put you on our prayer list. And you'll start to get announcements of what's coming up, things like our fatherhood initiative. But most importantly, when we have a young lady who comes to our clinic that's abortion determined, we immediately email out, please be praying. And so you can join us in that moment, the exact time that those conversations are happening. You can lift that person up to the Lord confidentially, of course, privately. You won't know their names or situation, but you can at least petition the Lord to work on that young lady's life. So fortheone.org/join. And if you want more information, please come back and talk to me. But let's pray. Praise the Lord together for the mighty work that he has done in this community through churches like Lebanon Foursquare and ministries like Obria. Father, I thank you so much this morning for the opportunity to be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And though I don't get to be here every week, Lord, I know that when I praise your name on Sunday morning and I lift your voice, I lift my voice in song and I study your word, that I'm joining with them as they do the same here in this location. And Lord, together our voices ring out in praise of the name above all names, the author and creator of life. And Lord, you have given us a task, and it is to share the gospel. But Lord, in not every opportunity of sharing the gospel is it about just preaching about the cross. Sometimes, Lord, sharing the gospel is just being kind to someone in need, to showing them that they have value. Lord, to caring about them in a moment of trauma and crisis. And so, Lord, we pray for every expression of the gospel, from the public declaration in a worship service to the clinic when we're just being kind and loving and caring to someone in need. Lord, may you speak through every action. May you speak through every word. May your Holy Spirit be present in every moment as it is here in this room. Lord, I believe with all of my heart that what we do here in this room is important. It is vital. And you've called us to gather together. We're in obedience here this morning, praising your name and encouraging one another. But Lord, the job of worship and the job of obedience and the job of proclaiming the gospel only begins in this moment. And we have a job to do as we step through these doors, and that is to keep being your church, to keep being your hands and feet, to keep being the ones who love this community and the world to your doorstep, where you can embrace them and bring them into your family. And so we pray that you will empower Obrey and its mission, and you will empower Lebanon Foursquare, and you will empower all of us to be advocates, your advocates in this world. So thank you for this moment. We take none of the credit because we are nothing without you. You deserve all the glory and all the praise, and we give it to you now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.